Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. I wanna thank the Most High for taking the things of the world off of my shoulders. Thank you, Father. Look, you made my desires pure. Yeah. You made my desires pure. Yeah. You made my desires pure.
I want wisdom, understanding. I don't want no Grammy. I want to live a righteous life with a righteous family. I want a wife that love you more than she love me. Want to show my people that they royalty. Want to live by your commands, on your word we stand. I'd rather be touching scriptures than touching these bands. Them riches gon' profit nothing in a day of wrath. I was living in my mess, I had to take a bath. Creating me a clean heart, Abba made me pure. The things of the world, y'all, it's time to ignore. I want love, I want peace, I want everlasting life. Well done, my good and faithful servant, walking in that light. I'm on this narrow path, trying to save a soul. I want my people in Jerusalem, the days of old. I wanna get to the homeless, show them that he cares. I wanna get a homeless, hope we almost out of here. Get your example through your son, and it's the only way. Ain't no pagans over here, we keeping holy days. I want my people, stop the killing, we dropping the prophets. I want us come back to the laws, it ain't no other option. Don't want no hate up in my heart, not over no doctrine. I want the fruits of the spirit, y'all could keep the nonsense. I had to renew my mind, I had to free my conscience. I had to confess my sins, I had to be honest. I want the Ruach HaKodesh to come into me. I only trust the Father, not the enemy. The Father word, he came and cleansed the enemy. I only want the Spirit, so I'm killing me. The Father gave me righteous things that I desire. I want to see the kingdom, not the lake of fire. I don't want no drugs, scriptures got me higher. If we come in a pure heart, we gon' make it higher.
My desires pure. You made my desires pure. You made my desires pure. You made my desires pure. Made my desires pure.
Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, all that you have for me. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard.
Shoulders, you made my desires pure. With the things of this world, you made my desires pure. I want to say thank you, Father. You made my desires pure. Getting that weight off our shoulders. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah, I still hear Static Family. I don't know if the song is still playing. Hallelujah. 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 Love that song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom. I'm your brother, Ariel, here once again at Kol Elohim, bringing you Iblis culture by the way of Beth Yahweh here in Baltimore, Maryland. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love that song. Love that song. And that's Brother Hezekiah, for those who are asking, what was that song? Brother Hezekiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me open up with an opening prayer and get into the benediction, then we can get into Abba's word. Hallelujah. 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 Yah, once again, for opening up your Shabbat door, Father, and welcome all those who will take hold of it, Father. Abba Yah, we thank you for that, Father. Abba Yah, we thank you for those who made it to the Shabbat, who came to your door today, Father, that you continue to bless them, Father. Father Yah, I ask and pray for all those who are alien in any type of way, Father, maybe any type of illness, Father, mental, physical, spiritually, Father, that you touch and heal them, Father, that it be your desire to continue to bring them towards your holy mountain, Abba Yah. Abba Yah, I would like to pray for all the Moraes, all those who are tasked to carry your word in these last days to your people, Father, that their minds and their homes be at shalom, Father, that you keep the adversary far away from them, Father, and even more, Father, that you give them the strength to fight them off, Abba Yah, because we know he's coming. But, Father Yah, we need your strength to fight them off, Father. We need your wisdom, Father, your spirit of discernment to see when he's coming and which way he's coming, Father. So I pray not for just them, Father Yah, but for all your Israel, Father, for your Akopis, for your Emas, for your Zakin, for your Yaladis, for your Ox, for the whole household of Israel, Father, that we all may continue on that straight and narrow path, Abba Yah, so we can make it into the kingdom, Father. Though we go to the left and to the right, Father, that your right hand bring us back, your loving commitment bring us back to the fold, Father Yah, bring us back to the straight and narrow, Father now, Father Yah, and when it's time for chastisement, Father, that your chastisement, as always, be in love and mercy, Abba Yah. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, taught us with his commandment, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy status as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray all is well with everybody out there that you are, even though it's still kind of early, and if you still with the hustle and bustle of getting home, that Abba Yah get you home. And if you are home and you still just trying to settle down after this long week of work, that Abba Yah be able to settle everything down for you, and you be able to sit and listen to his word and get his guidance and his understanding. May we all get that right, even the Moray, even the teacher. Get his guidance and his understanding, because as we sit here, we are learning too. And I don't think that the Moraes and the priests know it. No, they don't. They are learning on the fly just as y'all, whenever a lesson comes. Hallelujah. Trust me. We are learning on the fly, and Abba is showing us things as we sit and go through his word. And it may seem like we had it all the time, but sometimes that wisdom and understanding may come just in that instant of that Moray or that priest sit down and start reading and teaching his word. And Abba here, say this. Here, say that. No, don't go that route. Go this route. So on the fly, we're learning as long as we're listening, as long as we're listening, right? Sometimes we step on our own toes and we get in our way. Get in Abba's way because we feel as though sometimes we have a word and our word won't give you nothing. But the words of Yahweh, words of his son, Yahushua HaMashiach, is life and life everlasting. So pray for your Moray. Pray that they stay in that connection. So when they speak, they speaking from what he wants and his wisdom, his understanding. So the words of life come out their mouth. So pray for your Marie. Pray for it. Had an interesting week. And as a matter of fact, I just had two things that crossed my mind before I get into the lesson, key thoughts. Had something on my mind yesterday as I was taking this patient to shock trauma. And I have taken almost a week and a half, an elderly woman, and her husband been married for at least 50-something years, she told me. She's like, we've been married for 50-something years. He was in an accident, so he'd been in the hospital. He'd been in trauma for a while, but she said through her prayers and stuff that Abba Yah has been bringing her through. And every time I take this lady, she tries to tip me. Every time I take her, she tries to tip me. And I'm like, no, I'm thinking. So yesterday I said, give me a word. That'll suffice for me. Give me some word. And she gave me Isaiah. I forgot. Sorry about that. She did give me Isaiah. And she went into it. And we always have good conversations as I'm taking up the trauma and how her faith was. And she's a Christian. She's a bona fide Christian through and through, right? She's been walking this way for at least 40 years, I know. Her mother took her to church and it goes on from there, right? Generations of church goers, and her husband, her daughter, everybody just big in the church. And she seems like one of those church mothers that you grew up with and you knew, and the sincerity of her heart, the sincerity of her word, that she sincerely believed Abba Yah, you know, and how she said Abba had woke her up 3 o'clock in the morning and he was talking to her, and he forgot the scripture that she, I wish I could remember that. And how she just stayed up, and when she woke up, she started praying because he woke her up out of sleep. And the thing, as I had dropped her off and walking back towards the front, I didn't hear many brothers and sisters say that in the congregation. Many brothers and sisters said that Abba had woken up, and I haven't. I'm myself saying that Abba woke me up in the middle of the night and gave me a word. I heard his voice, and I had to ask a question to Abba Yah. I said, Abba Yah, are you speaking to her? And I understand what I'm saying. I know he speaks to other people, in instance, right? I know that he speaks through any and everyone. Any and everyone, but understand the thought that was in my mind, and it wasn't bothering me to the sense of, come on now, that Abba Yah, you can't be speaking to nobody. No, it wasn't that, but I wanted to know, Abba Yah, are you speaking to her? Because I hear her sincerity, but she's talking about getting ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas and happy holidays and all that, but I hear her sincerity in her heart, in her mind, right? And so my question to Abba Yah, and what he said to me was, even he gave me the scripture of, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 11, where even Satan can change his angels into an angel of light. And I'm going to be honest. I have a witness, his brother Harbell, as I was telling him the story as we met up. He's a witness that this is what I said to him. And that I didn't believe Abba Yah is because the sincerity of this woman and her faith, right, and what she believed in. So it wasn't that I didn't believe Abba Yah when he said that, and I don't believe in that scripture that Satan can change into an angel of light, or his ministers also can be a minister of light. And so I didn't, but for me, and this is me, like I told the brother, he's my witness, I said, it wasn't enough for me though, Aki, because I'm sitting here and I'm listening, and I just say, this woman's faith, like, wow. So as Abba do, See, he doesn't mind that question. He doesn't mind, all right, that ain't enough, okay, I got you. It ain't that you don't believe, but you just seeing something, but you're not seeing something, right? You're not seeing just that Satan can change himself into an angel. Like, all right, Harvell came in, Harvell, when we started talking, and he took me to Deuteronomy. If a dream of dreams, talk about a dream of dreams, or if someone rises up and tell you a thing and it comes to pass, right? So and that's when I started working, because we started going through the scriptures, right? And he started breaking the scriptures down, right? And he said, and this is what Harvell said, he said, it ain't that Abba don't use people in instances like that to give you a word, right? Anybody to give you, I don't care who they are. He can use anybody to give you a word. Anybody to give you a word. But when they start going and trying to tell you something else, when they start trying to change your thought on who you serve, that's when you know that the word is not coming for him. And then what Abba Yah put on my mind, and as the conversation grew between me and Harvell, you could see Abba Yah in the midst of it. He said, well, think about the Hindus, who is sure in their faith, who is just wholeheartedly believing in what they serving, just as this Christian woman is. But am I talking to them? Then he started running faith down, Islam, Buddhism, you know, and all the other ones, right? All the other ones. Am I talking to them? But you can get a devout Muslim who is sincere in their words and sincere in their beliefs, but am I talking to them? Am I guiding them? Are they hearing me? Are they hearing me? And I was satisfied with that, to be honest, because you're going to run by people who are very sincere in what they do. Right, and while we're talking about it, I don't know, Abba Yah must know somebody out there in the listening land needs to hear this, because maybe they're not as strong in their faith. Maybe they may not have a brother or sister, which if you're a part of Beth Yahweh, you have a brother and a sister that you can call and talk to about. And don't be ashamed of the question. Don't be ashamed of, you know what, Abba, I'm not feeling that just right now. So you're able to talk to a brother. You're able to talk to a sister, and Abba Yah can build. He'll be able to build on whatever it is that's plaguing your mind at that time, because he don't want us to be ignorant of Satan's devices. He don't want us to be ignorant at all. But prayerfully, you have a brother and sister. If you don't, if you know someone in Beth Yahweh, call them. Talk to them. Ask questions. Because there are some very sincere people in what they believe. And you know what? They are very convincing in their words and can walk us down the wrong path. The wrong path. There's many of people who've been walking the way of, you take any of the members of Beth Yahweh in any other congregation that may have been devout Christians before they came in here, devout Catholics, devout Muslims, anything until Abba Yah showed them the truth. And not that they got the truth overnight, it's through life experiences, their own life experiences, Abba Yah was able to show them the truth. And again, even the halal, Satan, our opponent, will give us life experiences to show us, hey, just like him, and just like this woman said that the Creator woke up in the middle of the night and gave a word, halal will do that. Satan will do that. He will do anything he has to do to keep you from walking towards the light and walking in the truth of Yahweh's word. Not just portions of his word, but in the totality of his word, right? In the totality of it. And the second thought that came across, and it goes right into the second thought that happened when I came home just now, and hallelujah, thank Abba Yah that I get home early enough. And I hope I'm on and not just talking, because I if I didn't get a text saying I wasn't on, so I'm going to just take that I'm on and I'm going to roll from there and keep on talking. But we My wife was watching this movie when I got home, and, you know, you just get home from break out, so I sit down. I got a couple hours. Now, normally, I'm hustling and bustling trying to get right. My old job, but this job, I'm getting off at 2:30, so I got a couple hours to get right. The lesson was put together last night, so I'm good. And she was watching some movie on Netflix, I said, with the girl who played in Columbiana. She played in a whole bunch of movies, and it's a series, like 8 series, right? And she married an Italian dude. And what I saw in the wedding when she married the Italian dude, they didn't play nothing, right? Todaki. They didn't play nothing of the black culture. And mind you, his family had disowned him in the movie. Because he was marrying not just a black woman, but he was marrying an American. To them, it wasn't that she was just black. To his family in Sicily, that was in Sicily, that he was marrying outside of the race. So they had disowned him, especially the father. The father was real brokenhearted that he did that, you know. And my wife, she didn't understand that. I said, that's because we as a people, we don't have a culture. So we don't understand other people's cultures. We look at that as a frown. Like, why would he feel that way? Love is love. No. It's different in different cultures. And we as a people, we don't have that culture. We don't have that close-knit of families, because that's the most important part to them, the close-knitness of family. And the families are so close-knit, right? There's no foolishness. I mean, it's family squad, but the close-knitness of family. So at the wedding, they played the Italian music. They really gave the Italian theme. But you know what they did show for the black culture? Us doing electric slide, us doing some line dance, afterwards dancing. And you know how I would do when you sniff. That's one of the reasons why they don't want y'all to come to your understanding of who you are. You think they want us to be able to have the woman standing up there first, and then the man come around and he come down the aisle? That's to them, that's buffoonery. But that's our culture. That's Hebraic culture. That's who we are. They don't want us to understand who we are. They don't want that man to come down last. They glorify the woman. So she comes down last. But in our culture, the man comes down last. The man stands there, and the woman walks around him 7 times, right? They don't want us to understand that about our culture. So, yes, you can do the lecture slide. You can go ahead, and you can set up your line dance. You can do your line dances. You can do all that. But you can't show forth the Mashiach in your wedding. You can't have a wedding on television showing forth of your Hebraic, your Israelite culture, your Torah culture. Cannot have that. It cannot be about the Mashiach. And think about Psalms 83 when Scripture says, and the heathen rage, right? And they want to break the bands asunder. They want to take the name of Yisrael and move it out of remembrance. And they have done that. They have done that for us as the people of the book. They've done that. They have removed the remembrance of Yisrael from our minds. They don't want that. And you think of what they feed us each and every day. So it'll be hard for us to come back and understand who we are. As the scripture says, what would, if the casting away of them in Romans would be riches for the world, how much more for the fullness to come back, right? If you is an opponent, you can never let that happen. You can never let that happen. And I was just thinking about the things, and when I first came, and I remember first coming in, and how we lit the candles for Shabbat. And at the end of the Shabbat, we would take a braided candle, right? A braided candle, and we would light that candle for when the Shabbat going out. I remember Rabbi Gershom Daniel over his house when the Shabbat was going out. He lit that, and I'm as a new, but what in the world is he doing? And he was telling me, he was explaining to me how this is what we do to close out the Sabbath, to separate the day, right? And it's like, wow. I remember when I was first coming in, I would blow the shofar. Every single, I would go out front right there, and when that sun is setting, but the people knew. They knew what day, or why. They didn't know why I was doing it, but they knew at the time I would go out there and blow that shofar. Light those candles. Had a Shabbat table ready. But thank Yahweh that he will always keep those things in our forefront. Because we have a brother that every time service come on, he will blow a shofar. Brother Isaac. Moray Shabbat will blow his shofar every time service will go off. Every time. Every time. And I'm quite sure these brothers blow their shofar when the Sabbath coming in. They go out back and blow their shofar or out front and blow their shofar. Regardless of what people looking at them for, it's a part of their culture to blow the shofar, to usher in the Shabbat. And those are just thoughts coming to my mind as I was sitting down and preparing my mind and just listening to that whole CD. And I got a chance to listen to that whole CD. If you got Apple Music, I will send you the whole CD. And it's nice. When I say it's nice, it ministers to you. We're going to get into the 12 tribes, and I'm going to start running my mouth about my week and how it went and the thoughts that came across my mind this week. But that's how we are. You know where we're going at. We will be reading out of the WEBA today, and our opening scripture as the mantra will be Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear with a preacher, a moraine? How will a master speak without a moraine? And again, I don't know how many did it, but ask your coworkers, do they know Yahweh? Ask your coworkers, do they know Yahushua? And yes, we know they are one and the same, but you got to take it slow. You just can't jump out there and throw somebody a baby a steak. You can't do that. So you got to break it down and where they understand it. Ask them about those two. Do they know Yahweh? Do they know Yahushua? They know about his feast days. They know about his holy days and his dietary laws. Do you know about these things? That he has a way of life for us to live. Or is it you just jump up on Sunday morning, you go to church, and after that, it's free fall. Or you in church, you in the club Saturday night, and then you wake up in the morning, you say your Hail Marys, and that's it. And after that, it's a free fall again. There's no continuation of trying to live a righteous life, conforming your lifestyle to the word of Yahweh. Ask them, is it just a free fall? You know, or does the Father require a little bit more of him? A little bit more than just showing up every week. You know, how did we treat someone who treated us nasty? Did we learn the fruits of the Spirit, right? Or what they call the Beatitudes? Did we return fire for fire? You know, that there is a total 180. Reverend Yariel told me that. I was saying 360. I remember when I first came in. He's like, no, it's a 180. Because if you do a 360, all you do is turn all the way around in the full circle. It's a 180. So you want to turn around and you want to go down that way. The best way I could put it in my Yariel voice, right? But that was a good lesson, something I learned. Long, 20-something years ago he told me that. I remember that. Somebody had a a lesson, one of the Morays had a lesson about, and they were just reminiscing about old things. The brother, well, the brother Harvell, he was saying he was just looking at the pictures and reminiscing about the old. And that's what Albert tells us, search for the old past, search for the old. The world don't want that. The world don't want that. If you get a chance, talk to somebody. Ask them about those things. Is there a criteria or a way of life that we should be living, or should we just show up and get ready for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter? No, I've missed one, Valentine's Day. You know, that these days in their mind that the Most High have ordained or have a part in. He has no part in those days. No part. None at all. And how will they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of Shalom, who bring glad tidings of good things. Who bring glad tidings of good things. What is the good things? But it's Torah. It's Torah. And the understanding of his Torah. Not just thou shall not eat swine. But understand why thou shall not eat swine. And I at my old job, I had a good time talking to Miss Helen, right? Because Miss Helen, and we in the kitchen, and Miss Helen, love her. Love Miss Helen. But she'll cuss you out. She would tell me she loved me. But if I don't give her something, she will cuss me out. Tell me I don't love her. I don't do this. I don't do that. Said one day we was in the kitchen, and all of the Christians was in there. Every opportunity I get, I try to slide something in there to make them think right. And I learned that from my rabbi. Every now and then, one of the main things, especially with it was both of them, if they want you to think, to give thought to what you do. And if you could start that right, then you could plant a thought in someone here. You have planted a powerful thing. And that's one of the things that I learned from them, is to give people thought so they can start trying. Don't try to tear down what they do. Don't all just jump out there and rah, cut it all up. You know, you do that. You're unskilled in the word. We did that, right? But when you get skilled in the word, you get skilled not just the word, but the spirit. You don't jump out there and cut people up. No, you don't do that. No, because you're going to lose them. So you give them something to think about. You make them start thinking. And you ain't got to say nothing to them. Just drop a seed. And we was in the kitchen, and I said, oh, come on, Amazon, you acting like swine. See, that's the very reason why the Most High don't want us to eat swine, because the swine characteristic. The swine only going to come to you when you need something. That's why he don't want us to eat swine, Miss Helen. And I gave it to the point where I'm talking to Miss Helen, but I got all these swine eaters around me. Now they got to go and think about that, these swine eaters, right? Now they understand why he didn't just say don't eat swine. It's an abomination. Don't even touch his dead carcass. But he don't want you to have that character. The rest of the things that he said don't eat. Right? It's a character. It's a spirit. So they got to deal with those thoughts. Now, Abiyah can start building if any of them sincere in their walk of walking with Abba. If you're sincere in it, you will start studying. You will start really looking into that. Because it ain't just words on the paper saying don't eat swine anymore. Now you understand why you should not eat this thing. Why you should not eat the shellfish and all that, these scavengers, these bottom feeders, the poop eaters. And I love the poop eaters, right? I love talking to people about that with their age. You know they eat poop, right? You know you are what you eat. What? Don't tell me that. Oh, yeah. The crabs eat poop. Yes, right. That's why the Most High put them in the ocean. They are the cleaners of the ocean. And just like the thing on the Flintstones when we were kids, the pig was the garbage disposal. He set up under that garbage disposal. That garbage disposal was a pig. He ain't made it for consumption. He ain't make it for us to eat. But it's wisdom and the spirit of Yahweh that guides us when we interacting with peoples on how to drop his word. And not to bombard it with them, to them, but just to drop a word so their mind can start churning. That's how you till that ground. You don't just go in there with a jackhammer and till that ground, because that ground is fertile. You go with a jackhammer, you'll tear it up. So you got to till that ground. You might got to get you one of those little teeny shovels. I don't want to say the name of it because somebody might say, oh, he's talking about on the blog talk. They might not even hear that. All they heard was the little teeny shovel, right? But it's called something, which I won't even spell it. It's called something. You might have to get one of those little ones. Dig up slowly to get down to that grass. But you got to be sent. You've got to be blessed. Got to be set apart. You got to be in communion with Abba Yah yourself. You got to move when he say move. He'll say that. But how will they preach unless they are sent as it is written? How beautiful are the feet. And listen to the terminology that he used. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of Shalom, who bring glad tidings of good things. In this time of this day and age, the world needs good things. They need Abba Yah, even though they don't know they need them. They need them more than ever, more than ever. So again, we're going to go through some history again. And there's a lot in this history, which I will not bring out until Abba Yah say bring out. We will continue the story of Jacob. We in Bereshit 32, and we're going to start at 22. And trust me, there's some gems in here. But we just going to read. We get there. And if Abba Yah say speak, I'm going to speak. But if he say no, I am not. But there's some gems. When I say I learned something reading Bereshit, I had to call my rabbi to see what I was seeing. Woo. Fire. I tell you, you just got to read it. Bereshit, Genesis 32, starting at verse 22, and we picking up from where we left off last week because we read about the 11 sons. Now we're going to read that there was one more son because we understand that Jacob had 12 sons. And again, Yisrael, the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what we're talking about. We in installment 3. He rose up that night, two wives and his two servants. And matter of fact, I got to stop there because I got to give the backdrop to this. This is after he left his father-in-law, Laban, Jacob, that is. He had his four wives. We read about last week. We read about the sons and which the four wives. The two wives and the two wives and his two concubines, which was his two wives' handmaids, right? And at this time, he ended up leaving his father-in-law, Laban, right? And Laban was coming behind him, and Yahweh gave Laban a dream and told Laban, don't you even speak harshly to him, right? Don't you even raise your voice. When you get to him, You better be apologetic for even coming that way. Good read. Just go back and just shows another way that Abba Yah have always watched over it. Always. So Laban and they got there and they parted their ways and he's going towards, the story tells which way he's going. Now he's coming back towards his father's house, right? But he knows. And if you understand or read any of the history of his brother Esau, you know, Esau, when he left his father's house, Esau was mad at him. Esau vowed to kill him. So now he got close to his brother's house. Now he is separating his family because he in his mind that Esau, if he kills some of us, he won't give all of my generation, right? He won't get all of us at one time. So he's about to separate the people. Hopefully that was enough to catch you up to where we at in the story. If not, in your own time, just go back and read. Just go back and read. Great read. He rose up that night, two wives and his two servants and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the stream and sent over that which he had. Jacob was left alone and wrestled with a man there until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he didn't prevail against him, the man touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was strained as he wrestled. The man said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." Jacob said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." He said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have fought with Elohim and with man and have prevailed." Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." He said, "Why is it that you ask what my name is?" He blessed him there. And again, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen Elohim face to face, and my life is preserved. The sun rose on him as he passed over Peniel, and he limped because of his thigh. Therefore, the children of Israel didn't eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the hollow of the thigh, this to this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. We're moving over to 33, family, and we're going to read the whole chapter of 33. We're going to read the whole chapter. Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and with him 400 men, and have divided the children between Leah and Rachel and the two servants. He put the servants and their children in front, Leah and his children after, and Rachel and Joseph at their rear. He himself passed over in front of them and bowed himself to the ground seven times till he came near to his brother. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Now, if you know anything about, we were just talking about this. This is just a thought. You know anything about why Esau was so mad at Jacob? Because he in Jacob's mind and Esau's mind that Jacob stole his blessing, which in essence Jacob did steal his blessing. If you know the story, that Jacob camouflaged himself or made himself to look like and feel like his brother, which was a hairy man, and he touched him. So in essence, he did steal his blessing. And at that time, Isaac couldn't give Esau a blessing, the one he should have got. So Jacob, the second son, got the first son's blessing to just give up. But the thought is, he was pissed at him. He vowed to kill him. And Esau was a man that hunted. So he knew how to kill. It wasn't like that he was like a farmer like Jacob was. Esau was a killer. He knew how to kill, right? But here in the story, we find out that Esau wasn't that mad because time has passed. Maybe I'm a guess just on how long Jacob stayed with Laban, 21 plus years. 21 plus years he haven't seen his brother. But we tend to forget that Jacob and Esau are twins. They shared the womb together. So they have a bond together. Either way, no matter how we want to slice it up and look at it, these two brothers shared a bond. They had a bond together because they were twins. And I'm not a twin, but I done heard conversations of twins that they know each other looks and thoughts and can finish each other's sentences. I'm quite sure with these two brothers growing up in the household, that there was some type of bonding there. So after this amount of time passed, at least 21 plus years, Esau didn't have the wrath that he had when Jacob first left. But we know in down the line, if you're a student of the Bible, if you're a reader of the Bible, that his descendants end up hating the children of Israel. Not him himself, his descendants did. Because somewhere along the line, the opponent got in. But at this moment, the twins came back together. And think about that. They twins. And a scripture come to mind that Abba said, Jacob I love and Esau I hate. Oh, like they twins, though. We ain't going to go too far in it because I would just want you to think about that on the grand scheme of things, right? What we see in this world system, they twins. Think about this also. Think of another scripture come to mind. If it were possible, even the very elect shall be deceived. They twins, though. Right? We ain't going to go too far. We can talk afterwards of those who want to talk. We just going to keep it simple. Try to keep it basic as possible. All right. Where I left them at. Five. I'm going to go back to four, family. Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. He lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are these with you? And he said, the children whom Elohim has graciously given your servant. Think about that. Go back. Use your imagination. Be there. He ain't seen his family. He ain't seen his brother in so long. And the last time he saw his brother, he wanted to kill his brother. Men had and shared a moment. They cried and wept. Something happened. So let's get back to when the two brothers met. We're using our imagination. We're going back there. We're going to see it. Then the servants came near with their children, and they bowed themselves. Leah also and her children came near and bowed themselves and them. After them, Joseph came near with Rachel, and they bowed themselves. Esau said, What do you mean by all this company which I met? Jacob said, to find favor in the sight of my master, of my Lord, right? And my idol not. And listen to what Jacob said. Just put yourself there. You the brother. You ain't seen your brother in a long time. You mad at him. And everybody bowing to you. Mind like, oh, what's going on? Why are you doing it? Look, brother, that was a long time ago how I felt about you. Right now, I'm glad to see you. I want to meet my family. Jacob still didn't trust. Didn't trust the moment, right? Didn't trust the moment all the way. And then it's fair that he had reservations, right? It's fair. The last time you saw that brother wanted to kill you. So, hey, and you know who your brother is. You just heard a story. Hey, your brother bad, boy. Your brother out there, hey, he laying people low. So it's okay. We understand your reservations, Jacob. But Esau mind is, hey, that's bygone. That's gone, man. You my brother. You ain't just any brother. You're a twin. We twins. Esau said, I have enough, my brother. I want to just make sure I ain't missed something. Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Let that which you have be yours. Jacob said, please, no. If I have now found favor in your sight, then receive my present at my hand, because I have seen your face as one sees the face of Yah Elohim, and you were pleased with me. Please take the gift that I brought to you, because Elohim has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough, he urged him, and he took it. And again, let's try to get back into Jacob's spirit. Hey, thing I heard that you wanted to kill me, but I know Abba Yah have softened your heart. He softened your heart. He dealt grace. And understand Jacob's words, right? Yahweh, Yah, he dealt graciously with me. Moved on your heart. Your heart towards me. So I understand that was for me. We all can relate to that. Somebody mad and pissed at you, you that did something wrong, and Yahweh moved on their heart for you, for your sake. And Jacob understood why his brother's heart was changed towards him. But even still, he wanted to give his brother a blessing. 12. Esau said, let's take our journey and let's go, and I will go before you. Jacob said to him, my Lord knows that the children are tender and that the flocks and herds with me have their young. And if they overdrive them one day, all the flocks will die. Please let my Lord pass over before his servant, and I will lead on gently according to the pace of the livestock that for me and according to the pace of the children until I come to, excuse me, my Lord to Seir. Jacob still don't have full trust, right? First of all, the brother did come with 400 of his men. So I forgot that part. He did come with 400. You know, Jacob got women and children. But your brother came with 400. And in the mind, and you go back in Esau's mind, and, hey, he don't know where Jacob's mind at either after these whole 21 years. 21 plus years, because we don't know exactly how many years. I didn't do the count on that. Did not reveal that. So he didn't know where Jacob's mind was, too, so he got 400 men, come on, roll with me. I'm going to meet my brother. I don't know where his heart and mind at. But I know if he wants some smoke, I come to find out two brothers missed each other. They missed each other. So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. Jacob traveled to Sukkot, built himself a house, and made shelters for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Sukkot. Jacob came in peace to the city of Shechem, which is the land of Canaan. When he came from Padan Aram and encamped before the city, he brought the parcel of ground where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Shechem's father for 100 pieces of money. He erected an altar there and called it El Eloha Israel. El Eloha Israel. Amen. Amen. Woo. We're going to skip 34 family, and we're going to 33. We're picking back up the story in 33. Because if you go in, you haven't read 34 is Jacob also has a daughter, Dina, right, in the land Shechem that he was in. And I just forgot the man's name that quick. The man that he brought the land from, his son wanted his daughter, right? If you don't know the story, and we're going to just skim through the story real quick, another good read, some more truth in that, the more underlying spiritual meaning in 34. Although the whole world is like that, right? So he humbled Dina in the fact that he just had his way with her, without her consent. And the brothers, I believe it was Reuben and Levi. I know it was Levi. I don't know right off the back. Was it Reuben? Someone, send me the name of the other brother, if somebody can, who was listening, and we'll tell who was the other brother besides Levi. I believe it was Reuben and Levi, but not 100. And they found out that he had his way with his sister, so they went, and he wanted to marry his sister, and they told all of them they got to get circumcised. They end up circumcised all the men in there, and by the second day or probably the third day they were sore, and they went and slew the whole village because they defiled their sisters. And that's what the basis of 34 about, if you haven't read it. So we end 35 now. Elohim said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and live there. Make there an altar to Elohim, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. I ain't gonna say nothing. Then Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign mighty ones that are among you. Purify yourself. Change your garments. Elohim said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, go up to the house of Mighty One, go up to the house of El, right? Listen to me. Where I appeared to you, you ran from your brother, right? I first changed your name. Did that. I'm just going to say it, and we can go into it afterwards. But who did Jacob meet? Was that some mere angel talking to Jacob? Mere angel. Who was that? Right there. Who was it? This ordinary angel. Or was it the captain of the host? We could talk about it afterwards. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how it was told to me, how Rabbi broke it down for me. Go into the Peniel and look at those words. Go into that. Those who know the Hebrew. Then Jacob said to his household and to all who are with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourself. Change your garments. Israel! To put away these foreign gods if we're going to return back to Abba Yah. I go to him with these foreign gods and with that old garment we have on. Have to change. Go to him with all these doctrines of devils. Have to put away these foreign gods. I'm going to return back to the mountain. We can't go to the house of El on God. So, his spirit, I am carnal, so understand. But we know, Torah, spirit, cannot return back to his house with all these different doctrines. He will not accept that. We have to get rid of these different doctrines. In the book of Hebrews, I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, he said, you ought to be teachers. You need to be taught, Israel. Turn back to the house of El. Got that old filth. You got to continue to come out of her. Can't go back to the house of El. Filthy, and with all these foreign garments, a foreign god. We can't do it. Two, and I already read two. Let's arrive and go up to the house of El. I will make there an altar to Mighty One, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me on the way which I went. They gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the rings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under an oak, under the oak, which was by Shechem. They traveled, and a terror of Elohim was on the cities that were around them, and they didn't pursue the sons of Jacob. You know why they don't want us to come back together? Because of things like this in the word. Want us to read about the Old Testament, go into the Old, you know what? Realize that that's talking about them. Ever let them come into know who they are. that resides with them, that goes everywhere with them. You rulers of the world, let them know that. The people around them, here it is. I remember when we was young, right? And we lived in Highland Park. We lived up in Highland Park, right? We would all go downtown. But to get back to Highland Park, we had to sometimes walk through Lexington Terrace. Now, we all been there. If you lived on the east side, you lived on the west side, right? Didn't matter. But if you was black, this is the dumbness of us, right? You couldn't walk through a neighborhood without the neighborhood trying to chase you. White people, right? But I didn't hear stories about if you went to Hamilton and you couldn't just be walking home from Hamilton because the white people would chase you, right? They don't get them out of our neighborhood, right? Sunset here, right? But guess what? He put terror in their heart. Don't y'all even think about going over there towards them. That's my people walking through your territory. That's my people walking through your neighborhood. Don't you even think about it. Go down to the police club on down in Pigtown. I mean, mothers, fathers, everybody coming. And we were only about 10 of us. We going to play basketball. Young black kids. They would come out the houses. Grown people chasing these kids. Grown people chasing kids. Because we black and walking through their neighborhood. The racism that they had towards us. And we had did nothing to them. It ain't like we were trying to break in. We was happy just to go play basketball. Mindset. But guess who defended them? Abiyah. It's like you told old Laban when old Laban was on that horse just for getting it and coming after Jacob. That little thing came to hey, slow down. Matter of fact, you take that horse, you start trotting. Before you get to him, you better reach there and you better be in the apologetic mood. The same thing. They don't want us to know that. They don't want Israel to know that. In fact, some of Israel don't want Israel to know that. Some of Israel had problems with Israel. Some of us have problems with Israel. You know, we all watched this stand-up one time. Right? We all watched. Now, if you haven't, I'm going to tell you about it. The Chris Rock stand-up. And Chris Rock said something, right? And I'm in agreement. I was in agreement with that. I was in agreement with what he said. He said, there's a difference between black folks and ninjas. This ninjas is that, ninjas is, and black folks is this. They Christians love us. They love us. And ninjas is all this over there. Different. Yep, because I'm going to be honest with y'all. Yep, you sure right. I can't stand them ninjas. Chris Rock he's a part of the system. So it's his job to train my mind to think the ninjas, about the ninjas in that way, right? But y'all love them ninjas. Prophets that die for them each and every day. But we have got trained to hate the ninjas. Ninjas as if we was never there. Our closest family members, our mothers, our fathers, wasn't there. They have been trained to think of the ninjas that way. Talking about. Trained to think of Abba Yah's people like that. We black. Them ninjas and us, we totally two different people. Oh, we all Israel. Hard-headed and stiff-necked. Terror of Elohim was on the cities that were around them, and they didn't pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, the people who were with him. He built an altar there and called the place Mighty One of Mighty One. Now, who in the world is that? Hold up, Jacob. Why are you building the an altar to say the mighty one of the house of mighty one? Who is the mighty one of the house of mighty one? Who is that? Fine, we can talk after this. But who is the mighty one of the house of mighty one? First time is when Yahushua was walking on that road, and those two men were talking about the times, right, after his resurrection, when he came. And the two men were talking about the whole scenario, what went down with him, right? And they didn't even know that was him walking behind them. And the scripture says he started from Genesis all the way to the last prophet explaining about him. Who is the mighty one of the mighty one house? Who is that? Who is that? And why Father Yaakov building the altar to him? Because there Elohim was revealed to him when he fled from the face of the world. So you're talking about when he first got his name was there. Who is the mighty one of the mighty one? How that Yahweh? We know that. Who is that? Brothers and sisters out there who calling themselves Yisraeli, they don't know. They need to be taught. Who is the mighty one of the mighty one house? Oh, old garments on. They still got all them false idols. Who he is? Mighty one of the mighty one's house. They have no clue who he talking about. And now the story switched a little bit. Deborah, Rebecca's name, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the oak. And its name was called Alon Bakut. Elohim appeared to Yaakov again, and he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And Elohim said, your name, Yaakov, he shall not be Yaakov anymore. Your name will be Yasharal. Him. Oh, you name all the animals. Adam, you could name Kawa, one who came from you. You name Kawa, Adam. She came from you. Yaakov. Jim, HaMashiach named him. But Adam, he was given the liberty of naming everything else in the world, even the first woman in the world. But this man right here and what his lineage is going to represent must mean something real special for him to get named by the mighty of the mighty one's house, right? But you know what, though? It's Israel who don't even like that name. They don't like that name. They don't even want to associate themselves because they're our angry cousins out there making it profane in the name. Our angry cousins ain't named themselves that. They got out there and they can be pretenders. And I'm going to be that real one. I'm going to be that one to say, you know what? Just as my family takes the name of Kelly and have pride in that name. Nah, that name means absolutely nothing. It's dung. Just like Brother Paul came to understand all that he learned. Hey, that's dung. To the knowledge of Yahushua HaMashiach compared to the name, that glorious name that he said he gave us, every name, the face of the planet is dung. This is straying away from that name. because they don't understand that name. Their minds have not elevated to the point where though Savior gave me that name. They looking at the flesh and not looking at the spirit in their name. His name that he said he gave us. Ain't nobody else give us that. We rock our names easy. Pop our colors through our names with no problem. That he gave. When you come to understand that it was Yahushua HaMashiach, call that name. I can't even remember nowhere else besides when he told the angel, I believe it was Gabriel, go down there and tell Miriam that his name is going to be this. Go down there, I believe it was a couple of us, but not him, himself, naming nobody else. Nobody else. And I'm going to throw that in the wind. I'm just going to represent that I'm a believer. Ain't nowhere in the world that he said that, hey, you know what? I'm going to name you believer. You be a believer. You believe what? Your actions and your lifestyle will tell you what you believe in. That will tell you what you believe in. Your actions and your lifestyle, the way you treat people, the way you act, what you're following each and every day, what you're listening to each and every day, what you do in your dark spaces. And that's all of it. The royal name? Elohim said to him, ah, mighty one, El Shaddai. Mighty. I am almighty. And multiply. A nation, a company of nations will be from you, and kings will come out of your body. Kings will come out of your body. A company of nations. Hold up to my angry cousin. What are you talking about? Is he just talking about, all right, Jacob, you're going to your 12 sons? No, he didn't just say that. First he said, a nation. He made it singular. And then he said, a company of nations. People going to be coming. Other people going to be coming. It ain't just for the natural born Israelites. Because he's been telling us that all the way back here in the Torah. Those garments and those false gods, those doctrines of demons. Get rid of them. Because that's not what Torah teaches. Torah teaches a company of nations going to come out of you, Yaakov. A nation. They themselves to you, Yaakov. Saw that day, brothers and sisters, they can't see that. They can't see the truth of the Torah. They need to be taught. They need to be taught the truth of the Torah. Then the land which I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I will give it to you. And your offspring after you, I will give the land. Up from him in the place where he spoke with him. Yaakov set up a pillar in the place where he spoke with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. But we know that the Torah is spiritual. And Jacob called the name of the place where Elohim spoke with him the house of El. Beth-El. They traveled from Beth-El. There was still some distance, and Rachel traveled. She had labor. She had hard labor. When she was in labor, in hard labor, the midwife said to her, don't be afraid, for now you will have another son. As her soul was departing, for she died, she named him Benoni, but his father named him Benjamin. Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, also called Bethlehem. Jacob set up a pillar on her grave. The same is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Israel traveled and spread his tent beyond Tower of Edur. While Israel lived in the land of Reuben went and laid with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. The sons of Levi, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servant, Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpha, Leah's servant. These are the sons of Jacob, who were born to him in Padan Aram. Jacob came to Isaac, his father, to Marah, to Kiriath Arab, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac lived as farmers. The days of Isaac were 180 years. Isaac gave up the spirit and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of days. Esau and Jacob, his sons, buried him. One more scripture. We're going to skip across this. We're going to skip across Esau's descendants. If you want to know about Esau's descendants, I believe y'all have a whole teaching about Esau's descendants, and just go back into the archives and write a good lesson. So we're going to 37, and this will be the last chapter, and one more scripture after that, which happened 37. Jacob lived in the land of his fathers, traveled in the land of Canaan. This is the history of the generation of Jacob, Joseph, being 17 years old, feeding the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpha, his father's wife. Joseph brought an evil report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and they hated him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Please, hear this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves came around and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers asked him, "Will you indeed reign over us? Will you indeed have dominion over us?" They hated him all the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed yet another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to me." He told it to his father and to his brothers. His father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Will I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves down to you, to the earth?" His brothers envied him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Think about that. You know, I've read over this many times, right? But what his father just said, to I, your father, and your mother, how we know and understand that Jacob is speaking prophetic? Because we just read that Rachel died, having Benjamin. So he had to be speaking something much more, we know, something much more than his father and his mother. Something, they point to something. Because Rachel just died. We know that Rachel is, what's the name, son? Joseph is Rachel's son. But she died having her last son, Benjamin, father Israel's son, Benjamin. So Jacob was speaking prophetically. And I didn't read over that, and until I read it the other day, like, oh, he was speaking prophetically. Thank you, Abba Yah, because sometimes we can read and read and read, and we won't see a thing until Abba Yah opened our eyes. His brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, Israel. Israel said to Joseph, "Aren't your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them." He said to him, "Here I am." He said to him, "Go now, see whether it is well with your brothers and well with the flock, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. A certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. The man asked him, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I am looking for my brothers. Tell me, please, where they are feeding the flock." The man said, "They have left here, for I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. They saw him after afar off, and before he came near to him, to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer comes. Come now, therefore, and let us kill him and cast him into one of the pits, and we will say, 'An evil animal has devoured him.' We will see what will become of his dream." Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let's not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit that it is in the wilderness, but lay no harm on him, that he might deliver him out of their hand to restore him to his father." When Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his coat and the coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread, and they lift up their eyes and looked and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Galilee. When their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh going to carry them down to Egypt, Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him Ishmaelites and not let our hand be on him, for he is our brother, our flesh." His brothers listened to him. Many Midianites who were merchants passed by, and they saw, and they lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. The merchants brought Joseph into Egypt. Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was in the pit, and he tore his clothes. He returned to his brothers and said, "The child is no more, and where will I go?" They took Joseph's coat, and they killed a male goat and dipped the coat in the blood. They took the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We will found this. Examine it now and see if it is your son's coat or not." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn in pieces." Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his waist and mourned for his son many days. And his sons and all his daughters rose up and comforted him, but he refused to be comforted. He said, "For I will go down to Sheol to my son, mourning." His father wept for him. The Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Amen. 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 One more scripture, family, and that is in Psalm Telahim 147. He showed his word to Yaakov, his statute and his ordinance to Israel. He have not done this for just any nation. They don't know his ordinance. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, Israel. That is the end of my blog talk. Let me get the benediction and have the closing prayer. prayerfully we all got something out of that, and go back and read it. As you read and pray and ask Abba Yah to open your eyes, give you some more Sabbath meal before we go into the later on today. And then we got the main course. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, for your word, Abba Yah. Abba Yah, may it fall on fertile ground, Father. May it sprout like seeds, Father. May it go through us like rapid fire, Father. Abba Yah, may it keep us within your bosom, Father. May your word continue to grow us, Abba Yah. May it surround us. May it be our everything. May it be everything to each of us, Father. Yah. May it fill our whole being, Father. From the top of our head to the bottom of our soul, Father. May we walk into us, Father. May be a reflection of your Son, Father, yeah. That we can be lights in this darkened world, Father. That, Father, I pray for your Moray who is coming up in a few hours, Father. That you well, Father. That you keep his mind at peace. And while he slumber, Father, that you keep the adversary away from his mind, Father. Also, Yariel, Father, that you keep his mind in shalom and keep the adversary far from him, Father. But for both of your Moraes, Father, that you remind them that the power is within them to make their adversary run from them, Father. That they stand on your word, Father, and rebuke the devil anywhere he comes, Father. May all your trials stand on your word and rebuke the adversary each and every way that he try to come, Father. May we be strong pillars in your kingdom. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom, Abba Yah.
Zion. Hey, yo, Ren. Turn that up.
Only a few of us gonna make it out. Zion, only your remnant, when is my people gonna learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take it, the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people to return. Only your remnant. When is my people gon' learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take it, the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people to return. Only your remnant. We at the end and we feeling it. We the sand of the sea, but a remnant. Shall return to the word when they hearing it. We the sons of Israel. Our word will never fail. Baptizing in Jacob's well. Holy Spirit ain't playing for real. Well, you get protected, he's sending them plagues. I'm trying to make sure that he's seeing rain. All in my life, all in my head, all in my walk, all in my legs. You don't got that blood, you walking dead. Walk as he walk, we should leave what it say. Only your remnant gonna be spared. Only your remnant gonna be spared. Abba gon' get us out of these countries. Abba said, let me see who really want me. Forsaking our houses, forsaking our money. We got that signal from heaven, he coming. Drinking his cup, nobody running. Flesh getting weak, but the spirit is gunning. We see the prophecy, we know he coming. We see the prophecy, we know he coming. But it's only your remnant. 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 When is my people gonna learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take it, the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people to return. Only your remnant. 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 When is my people gon' learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take it, the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people to return.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yes, it's true, yes, it's true. You didn't have no clue. That's because nobody told you. They couldn't afford to. Cause you monkey like you Goku. It ain't like nobody owed you. We broke the law and they sold you. We did this all to ourselves, Jacob. Now it's the time that you know the truth. You don't know you so, so special. You don't even see what's next, though. So we cry, cry, cry. Only remnants gonna make it out of here alive. Please repent, my people, cause we at the end of time.
Only you remnant. 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 When is my people gonna learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We Jacob, the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people to return. Only you remnant. 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 When is my people gonna learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people return. It's time for my people return.
It's time for my people return.
I do it for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is the story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most high, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that for check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most high, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that for fact. You are the redeemer, and they know you coming back.
You are the redeemer, and they know you coming back.